Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Venezuela and El Salvador, two countries that are not even close to each other. One is Central America, one is South America. However, there is something to bring both of them together, which is what is to be done. I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady of the Wall Street Journal editorial page. She writes the America's column to help me unpack a sentence that appeared in an editorial written for the Wall Street Journal on Monday night, March 17th. This is the editorial board's writing. It isn't clear why Mr. Trump had to get in a prison bed with Mr. Bukele when he could have sent the gang members to Guantanamo for immigration hearings and American due process. End. Mary, a very good evening to you. Who is Mr. Bukele? What gang members? And what happened? Good evening to you.
Wow, that's a lot, John. Yes, this editorial by the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, which went up on our website on Monday evening, discusses a number of components of this deportation. But one of them is that the Trump administration sent these alleged criminals, because they hadn't been convicted of any crimes in the U.S., to El Salvador. And there they're going to be put in a large prison built by Nayib Bukele, who is now the ruler of El Salvador. And the problem with partnering with Bukele is that he has a terrible human rights record. He has destroyed democratic institutions in his country. And this isn't me saying this. This is the State Department, which issued a report on El Salvador's human rights and prison conditions in that country in 2023. And it's quite a chilling report. I mean, it's just terrible stuff. Now, you might argue, well, these are gang members who deserve to be in a terrible prison because they're terrible people. But they have not, again, I stress, they have not been convicted of anything. So Marco Rubio went to El Salvador and put on a big show with Nayib Bukele in January, or I guess it was the beginning of February, where he sort of said, Nayib Bukele is now my best friend forever. And I wrote about that at that time because, as I said, Bukele has turned that country into a dictatorship, basically. And because he has brought crime down, some people on the right are saying, look what a hero he is. But this is not the model that anybody would want to make for, you know, U.S. Influence in the region. This is a really terrible thing that's happened to El Salvador under this this tyrant.
What is gripping about this story, Mary, is that we have to unpack so much of it in a simple, straightforward narrative. Trendy Aragua is the gang. The people who are being rounded up are asserted to be members of Trendy Aragua, though I don't think you carry a document saying I'm a member. They are Venezuelans. Right. They are Venezuelans who came to this country without documentation, I presume, and they're sent to El Salvador, where we can establish that they're not going to be treated decently, nor are the people of El Salvador who have been rounded up treated decently. We've had reporting from you for years on that matter. Now, Trendy Aragua, you identify in your column as a gang from the state of Aragua in Venezuela, who in some fashion were turned loose by the state, and they made their way, some of them, into the United States. There's due process to get to, but I want to establish what it is we believe Trendy Aragua was released for? Why did the state of Venezuela, which is no friend to decency or justice, why did they release him from that jail?
Well, I think you've done a pretty good job of capturing, you know, basically what's gone on. As I mentioned in my column, which is different than the editorial, my column on Monday, initially what happened was there was a prison in the state of Aragua where there was a riot, and these guys who were inside the prison sort of took over control of the prison. So they became the masters of the prison. They ruled the prison, and nobody in the state of Aragua stopped them. And to the point where they would come and go as they wanted, they started to take control using force of cities and of towns around the prison, where they would extort people. They would extort families who came to see family members who were in the prison. They became very powerful. And at some point, there was a prison break, and they got out. And it looks like what happened was they had then become a criminal organization that did lots of things, including extortion. And when the 2000 and by the way, I should say that the government in Venezuela gave them control over like food rations. And as you remember, in 2014, 2015, 2016, there was very little food in Venezuela. And so these guys became in control of the food rations, and the government let them do that. Fast forward a little bit, there was also a crisis of migration going on in Venezuela, and they became the human smugglers. And again, the government let them take control of human smuggling. Lots of good Venezuelans wanted to migrate out of the country because things were so bad, but they had to pay these smugglers, and it was a very lucrative business for them. And they've since come into the United States, and we don't know exactly how many there are or where they operate, but there are plenty of reports of them operating all over the United States. So the Trump administration wants to get rid of them, not only because they are disruptive for local law enforcement, but also because they seem to have a relationship with the Venezuelan government. In other words, one theory is that they were sent to the United States to be as a destabilizing influence in the United States in cities and towns around the country. So that's why the Trump administration wants to get rid of them. The problem is not every Venezuelan is a member of the gang. So you would need to have a hearing, a trial, present the evidence for each individual. And that's what's missing here with the Trump administration's decision. There has been no due process for these accused gang members, and I find that extremely troubling.
In other words, to summarize, the Trump administration is risking the lawlessness that Trendy Aragua represents. Is that correct, Mary?
General lawlessness of any, I mean, I feel like this kind of treatment of an accused criminal is very banana republic. And there's no reason to think the United States couldn't put these guys on trial, present the evidence, and even send them for, incarceration in Guantanamo. There's no reason to basically deprive them of their civil liberties in the U.S. And people say, well, they're not citizens, but they are entitled to, you know, due process. And then they could be sent to Guantanamo for incarceration. There's no reason why we couldn't go down that path. The problem with saying, well, just in this case, we're going to flout the law and do it our way, is that sets a terrible precedent going forward with how the state can use its power against individuals.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady for the America's Column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. More of this ahead. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.